engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. You may have also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as his sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God, that no bitter root spring up and cause trouble, through which many may become defiled. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him. But the kindness of the Lord is from eternity to eternity toward those who fear him, and his justice toward children's children among those who keep his covenant. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given to him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was mistreated in many ways. We think first and foremost, of course, of the crucifixion. But that was just the culmination of the unfair, unjust, hateful, negative ways that God made man was treated during his earthly ministry. And today's gospel passage from Mark chapter 6 brings us face to face with another one of those types of mistreatment, a type of mistreatment that you and I are subject to as well in this life. How they judged him, they took offense at him when there was no reason to take offense. They took offense at him because they did not have goodwill. We said beautiful prayer at the opening of the Mass. The church gives us a prayer today that says, that we may honor God with all our mind. All our mind. You know, St. Paul says, take every thought into captivity to Christ. Love begins with how we think about other people. What we do towards them or fail to do is down the road a bit, but it starts in thoughts, in emotions, in desires, then it transfers into words, and then it translates into actions. But very, very much of it begins in the mind. So we prayed today that we might honor God with our whole mind. And honoring God, of course, means honoring our neighbor as well. Love the Lord your God, the first and greatest commandment says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do we think about loving God in terms of the thoughts that we think about other people? So this was a problem here that arose in this gospel passage. They started off okay. Wow, they were amazed. Where did this man get all this wisdom? And look at the mighty deeds. He's curing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's multiplying the loaves. And they were, it's okay to them, but they were astonished. But for those that have an open heart, for those who love, for those who have an open mind, that will lead them to look more closely into Jesus. That will lead them to say, let us hear more, let us see more. That may lead them to believe. But instead, they twist at that point and they start looking down at him because they look at him, they look at, oh, he's a carpenter. He's just a working man. He's in a lower class of people. They're not supposed to be so wise and astonishing and powerful. So they took offense. It didn't fit into their categories in their own mind about putting people in different boxes. And they looked down at him and they decided to close their hearts to him and to speak and think negatively about him. This is God in the flesh. Don't expect to be treated better than your Lord and Master. This happens to us all, right? And that's why we also prayed in the opening prayer, not only that we would honor God with all our mind, but that we would love others. And there was a beautiful phrase in that opening prayer. We would love others with truth of heart. What does that mean? Again, that in our heart we don't do what these people did in this gospel passage. Instead of looking at the mighty works of Jesus and rejoicing in them, I mean, what's wrong with healing the sick and raising the dead and making the blind see and the lame dance and feeding the hungry? What's wrong with that? Instead of looking and focusing on the good deeds and opening their heart with gratitude for that, they close their heart against him and they despise him and they look down on him. Instead of listening to his words of wisdom, what they want to think about is, instead of thinking about the message itself, they want to think about, he's just a carpenter. He's not supposed to be talking that way. We know who his family is. He's not that great. You see the problem? The mind gets twisted. It gets distorted. It's focusing on the wrong thing. They had all the same evidence in front of them that the disciples did and the apostles and those who said, Lord, I believe. And they rejoiced because they had reason to rejoice. But no, if a person decides that they're just going to see things their own way, or if a group of people gets together and they're just going to decide that they're going to see things their own way, then they're just going to see things their way. If a group of people comes together and decides that they're going to refuse to understand, then there's going to be nothing but misunderstanding. This is what these people did when they heard Jesus in his right in his hometown. And this is what often they do to us today. People who just want to focus on the bad things that you did and not take any account of the good. People do this in their relationships with you, don't they? Certainly do it with me. Just focus on the negative. Let's find anything negative that we can about this person. Let's even find negative where negative isn't there. Let's cast doubts on this person. Let's raise all sorts of suspicions about this person. You know, loving God with all our mind and loving our neighbor in truth of heart means we look at the person and we think for ourselves. We don't let somebody else define that person for us. By the way, don't let anybody define you instead of you yourself. You know, there's a great battle in everyone's life, and it can be summarized by define or be defined. Either you tell your own story about who you are and what you believe and why, and what you do and what you don't do and why. Either you define your own story or somebody else is going to try to come along and fill the vacuum. That's why you should never be ashamed to speak up for yourself and to let your light shine and tell people why. Because if you don't tell people why you believe the things you believe and do the things you do, other people are going to try to interpret it for you. And they're not the ones qualified to do that. You are. And we all have to do that. And, you know, what happens here is people who are not loving with an open mind and a truthful heart they'll just listen to what somebody else says about you. Oh, well, you know, so this person over here said that they're not a good person. And here's the failure to love is that when you believe what that person said about you, instead of that someone going to you and learning face to face with you and learning from you. See what they did with Jesus. Because somebody else said something bad about him, some people just took that, and because they didn't like Jesus, then neither did the person who heard the criticism. But we don't let other people define other people. We go to the person themselves with openness of heart, openness of mind. They didn't have an open mind to Jesus. Some people just come together deciding to dismiss, hate, and discredit the other people. On display in our country today is a movement of divisiveness and of hatred in the Democrat Party toward you and me, toward the church, toward those of us who believe in pro-life, who believe in freedom, who believe in America, who believe in the Constitution. I want to read you some quotes. And you remember in 2018, Democrat Representative Maxine Waters was giving a speech out to a group of people out on a sidewalk. And she said, if you see anybody from that cabinet, in other words, President Trump's cabinet, in a restaurant, at a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. That's a very loving and open spirit, isn't it? That's loving your neighbor in truth of heart, right? That's identity politics. Just because somebody is serving their country under President Trump, you go out there and you tell them they're not welcome. What a wonderful Christian spirit there, Democrat Maxine Waters. Or how about Democrat Senator Cory Booker, all you folks from New Jersey? Get him out of office. What are you doing? He says, that's my call to action here. Don't just come here and then go home. Go to the Hill today, Capitol Hill. Please get up in the face of some Congress people. Cory Booker. Former Attorney General Eric Holder, Democrat, under Barack Obama, Democrat. He said to a group of people, this is video that's publicly available. We're not making things up here. He referred to the saying, if they go low, we go high. right? And he said to the people, you know, that's often said, you know, they go low, we go high. He said, no. He said, if they go low, we kick them. Again, just such an impressive spirit of love and unity and openness of mind and heart. Brothers and sisters, you and I have got to face the fact that this is the kind of treatment that we will get repeatedly. We get it from fake news. They may say something about you and about me, about our cause, about our movement, about our church. And in and of itself, it might even be true. But where the fakeness comes in, and of course they do make up things about us, but where the fakeness comes in is by presenting to people only those negative dimensions and saying nothing about all the good. It's a fundamental unfairness in the way people treat each other, and it's contrary to love. And our Lord's treatment that he received there in his own hometown should be both a warning to us not to treat others like that, but also an encouragement to us. We will not be treated any better than our Master was, our Lord and Savior, who went to the cross. But even if they bring us to the cross, we will love with truth of heart, truth of heart. We open ourselves to the person. We don't pay more attention to what other people are saying about the person than to the person himself or herself. We open ourselves to one another. Why can't we open ourselves to one another? Why can't we say, yes, I may disagree with what that person says, but I still have to love my neighbor. I'm going to open myself and listen for myself to what they say. And if I still disagree with them, hey, listen, I have the right to voice my disagreement. And in the political arena, I have the right to work to vote them out of power. But make sure that we're doing this in truth of heart and honoring God with all our mind, as we said in the opening prayer. Jesus, come to us. Help us to be open to one another, to stand for truth, to stand in love, and to defend the good name of one another as we serve you and your kingdom of love and peace, to which we belong and to which we are committed now and forever. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.